I welcome you to this episode of Above the Clouds. Today, only a day away from Nityananda's appearance day, we will be looking at one of my favorite subject matters, that is, by the power of the Lord, impossible becomes possible. Today we will look at text 35 of the first chapter of the fifth canto. Naivam vida purushakara urukramasya pungsam tat angri rajasa jitasat gunanam. And so on. Translation. My dear king, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the six material vips, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. And he can conquer the mind and five senses. The verse continued, but I would just like to take this part. Someone who is sheltered can, by the influence of his Nata, his Lord, become able to do things which an Anata, that is a person who is not sheltered, is incapable of even imagining. Srila Prabhupada writes about this in the ninth canto when he asked him the question, how was it possible that vanaras or monkey-like people could fight an army that was well equipped with all the instruments and weapons of warfare? And he says that two types of strengths, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strengths from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior. And in the purport of today's verse, Prabhupada says, since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, he can do things that seem wonderful for a common man. Similarly, a devotee who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord can also do wonderful things unimaginable to a common man by the grace of the dust of those lotus feet. There's one great devotee called Uddharan Datta who was fully surrendered to Lord Nityananda. He became very, very known in a place called Saptagram because of his amazing activities. He would, for instance, dance for long hours while a melodious singer who was very dear to Lord Nityananda sang the holy names. But he also was very compassionate to the ordinary people. When Uddharan Datta saw that there was a devastating famine, he set up a camp of 10 acres of land, constructed a huge warehouse where he stored rice, lentils, vegetables, and so on. And then he had regularly brahmanas cook the food and distribute it to the poor and needy. No wonder that he became well known even far beyond Saptagram. Now one brahmana became very envious. Udarandatta was not from the Brahminical society. He was of a lower birth, so to say. So when Lord Nityananda visited Saptagram, this Brahmana came and discussed with Lord Nityananda. And he wanted to show how the path of explorative knowledge, jnana, is so much higher than bhakti or devotion. Lord Nityananda was very well aware of the status and the pride of the Brahmana, and he did not want to defeat him immediately. So when lunchtime came, he said, "Let's take lunch together and continue our discussion afterwards." Now when the Brahmana heard that it was Sri Udarandatta, the so-called outcast, who had prepared the meal which he was supposed to eat, he got so angry that he wanted to immediately get up and leave. But Nityananda convinced him. "See," he said, "the remnants of Sri Krishna are always pure and completely spiritual and should always be accepted, irrespective of whoever had cooked it. Once Krishna touched the food, it is beyond all these considerations. Secondly, please know that the real qualities of a person are not based on his or her birth. Because Udarandatta now displays the qualities of the greatest Vaishnava, please accept him for his qualities and not his birth." So because Lord Nityananda was so kind, the Brahmana was pacified and he sat down again. Imagine, he was going to run away from the plate of prasadam. But then when Udarandatta came actually out of the kitchen to serve them prasadam, he just could not overcome his pride any longer. He jumped up a second time from his seat, and this time he could not be pacified. He just wanted to leave. Lord Nityananda then performed a miracle. He smilingly asked Sri Udaran to hand him his cooking stick. When it was given to him, he planted the stick into the ground, and immediately, by his mystical potency, in front of everyone's eyes, a beautiful and fragrant Madhavi tree immediately grew from the ground. You can still today go to the house of Udarandatta in Saptagram, and you can see this Madhavi tree which has grown so high that it gives shade to the samadhi of this great devotee, Sri Udarandatta. When the Brahmana saw this miracle right in front of his eyes, he just was stunned. There were others from the village who were present. They also became stunned. The Lord had actually taken a cooking spoon or cooking stick and planted it in the ground, and immediately it had grown. The Brahmana came back to his senses. He offered respectful obeisances unto that Madhavi tree, and he cried and he chanted, "Hari Hari Bol!" He started to roll on the ground in ecstasy and smeared the sacred dust where Udarandatta used to walk all over his body. Then he begged forgiveness from Udarandatta and Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda just smiled and he thought, what a wonderful way to preach. So he took Udaradatta, although he was considered a low caste, with him all over Bengal, and whenever he stopped somewhere, Lord Nityananda requested Udaradatta to cook and to serve the prasadam. In this way he convinced everyone that a Vaishnava is simply not bound to the ordinary rules that govern society, and by the way, that govern also the spiritual path. Lord Nityananda, in his amazing, blissful way of spreading Krishna consciousness even amongst the fallen people, is important for us. Because the spiritual journey, as we have often discussed here, cannot be done purely on Purushakara strengths, or the strengths which we have from our body and our mind. What you will hear now is the spiritual journey of most of the people who started. In the beginning, they are full of enthusiasm, but after some time, dryness settles in. One sees one's own incompetence. One sees that the taste which one initially had has waned down. And disappointment, or let us say numbness, spreads to all the areas of the life, so that such a person who has lost his faith or enthusiasm or taste appears to be numb in also other areas. At that time, the devotee will redouble his efforts. He will maybe even take up difficult to perform austerities. He will take responsibility. But when all this does not work, the devotee comes to the second stage. Here he sees, despite my best efforts, I could not fight my old habits, and I became a victim. Actually, now, he says, I don't care anymore to be intensely engaged. I don't care any longer about my spiritual practices. I will go and make compromises, or if I can't do this, I will vent my anger and rage against God. After some time, the third level may come. The devotee understands, my concepts and my old approach to my spiritual practices could not help me. But I know something. I want to be closer to Krishna. See, on level one, one says, I cannot do it any longer. On level two, one says, I don't want to do it any longer. And on level three, one says, I don't know how, but I really only want to be with Krishna. One great mystic used to say about this journey that only when one feels confused, then real knowledge can come. This real knowledge, or these deep spiritual experiences, they come by mercy. They come when the human being gives up all his efforts which come from his mind and his own endeavors, but when he just simply prays, my dear Lord, let the light of knowledge arise in my heart. Let it illuminate my life so that I can come close to you. Nityananda's appearance day offers us a chance to go to the most merciful form of the Lord. Lord Nityananda, who could even make a dry stick turn into a blossoming, fragrant Madhavi tree. I wish you all the best for Nityananda Trayodasi. May what you are looking for be granted to you by the most merciful Nityananda. See you for the next Above the Clouds.